What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Ken Miller. It is August the 13th, Thursday, another night for Real Ass. I'm joined at home with my boy, Mike Hurley. Hey, Mike, what's going on, brother?
Yes, sir. Everything good on this end, man. How about you?
I'm good, man.
You look tired.
Bro,
What's going on? I'm telling you, man.
I couldn't sleep on the road all weekend, and then I don't know if it's just being home all the time, man. I just can't sleep, so I'm waiting on this Ambien prescription, and I'm gonna be sleeping good, and probably out killing people. I'm gonna be the Ambien murderer. Already working on my name, and then we got Miguel Colon. Miguel, what's going on, man? We missed you last show. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Good to be here. Ken, this is your time to do all the dirt you want to do, and just blame it on the Ambien.
Ambien
made me write all the Facebook posts.
You think I want to be in this club throwing these dollars at her right now?
Baby, I'm the one suffering.
But I got my mask on and everything. I got my mask on. But at least he's still being social distancing and stuff. At least he's still being safe.
Yeah.
Still doing the Harlem Shake.
Yeah. But I got my mask on, bro. That's all, man. And last but not least, the man of the hour, Tomahawk Power, I devour, James John. What's up, brother?
I will take that, man. What's going on, Ken Miller?
James.
Thanks,
yes, sir.
Thanks, man. You just made that what he wants his intro to be every time he hits the stage now. That might be easy for you, but someone like me with no flavor, I'm going to mess that up.
No, call me by my new title. I am the paper champion. I sound great on paper.
Coming next to the stage, put your hands together for the knick-knack, paddywhack, big dog, and boom, Mr. James Young. That's how I break it down.
So, Michael and Miguel, I was doing my research today, getting ready for the show. I was in my cave doing my research on holidays and birthdays and realized James John needs to buy a damn calendar or get his internet fixed because all his Monday birthdays were wrong.
What?
All of your Monday birthdays are today, August the 13th. So happy birthday to Sebastian Stan of Winter Soldier, Daddy Mazar. Happy birthday. Matter of fact, Jerry Springer's birthday is February the 13th.
Damn,
it's not even in August, bro.
A day before Valentine's Day.
August, bro.
You're right. I meant to say that was Jerry Hinger. Birthday, not Jerry Springer. My bad. Yeah, Jerry Springer's birthday.
And also let you know, it was not International Left Handers Day at all. So James, what we're going to do, but James, I took care of that for you. The actual birthdays for April 10th, happy birthday, Kylie Jenner, Mama June,
no, let's go back.
Grant,
oh, all those Antonio are horrible.
Banderas, Ricky Smiley, Angie Harmon, and our boy from Bell Bill DeVoe, Michael Bivins.
How disrespectful of me. I apologize for that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm not finished with you, James.
Okay.
The actual holiday is for the 10th. This one goes out to Mike, okay? The last holiday is for you, Mike. It's four holidays. First holiday, National Lazy Day, which goes out to James John for being too damn lazy to look up the right word. Also, it was National S'mores Day. James, as being the big guy, I figure you would know some food, right? It was also National Shapewear Day. And then you missed Mike's day. It was National Connecticut Day, where Mike takes his all the time.
I'm sorry, Mike. I apologize, bro.
James,
I owe you.
If it makes you feel better, I didn't know it was National Connecticut Day either.
Yeah. James, where did you get your intel from?
Bro.
Dr. Fauci?
You take that back.
Yo, what's crazy? I was doing my research and I was like, Winter Soldier. Wait a minute, didn't James say? But today for the 13th, it is actual Sarah Huckabee's birthday, one of James' people. Don Lewis from A Different World and Winter Soldier and Debbie Mazar. And today is actual International Left Handers Day. So we got you, Dame. So, James, my question to you. What's up, man? You're getting old. Are you forgetting stuff? Do you need help? Do you need the ginkgo biloba?
I do. You know what happened? I'm using Spectrum internet and it's behind. That's what.
Yeah.
That's what happened, man.
Yo. Spectrum doesn't even have Google. It has Yugle. It just calls somebody up like, who wants to be a millionaire? It's like, I think Halle Berry's 52.
I don't really know. Yo, James did the ask a friend. You want to ask a friend? Let me call somebody up.
James goes to one website that's BritBart, and if it's not on there, it never happened.
True. James using Bing.com. Who uses Bing?
Yo, Bing isn't even a search engine. When you go, Bing is a suggestion. Like, I could be wrong, but.
Bro, if you go to Bing and you type anything in the search engine, it just says go to Google.
Like, yeah. If you want to hide a body, hide it in Bing because no one will look there. You know?
What made me laugh, James, about the birthdays, I say, James remind me of my dad, because my dad, until I was 27 years old, would send me a birthday card on March the 30th. And I'm like, Dad, my birthday March 28th. For real? For 28 years, bro. 28 years, this man. And I was like, Dad, like, my birthday March 28th. Are you sure? You can't take. Because you called me by my middle name. Can't tell you sure? I'm like, yeah, Dad. Like, why would I not know my birthday?
Well, in my defense, I wasn't there. So.
Yeah. he's like, March 30th is when I showed up to the hospital.
we didn't have Ubers back then, Ken. It wasn't so easy.
But you know what's crazy, though? Now when I have to go do paperwork for my daughter, who's my favorite child, I can never remember her birthday.
I always
call my ex-wife like, "Jazzy, your birthday the 26th or the 25th?" She's like, "You know what damn day it is," and she just hangs up. So I just tell people, I say, put 25-26.
Mm-hmm. I took my 6-year-old to the doctor once, and his mom usually covers all the sign-in stuff, but she was downstairs on the phone. So when I had to go sign in, and they're like, "And when is his birthday?" And I did this move. I looked at him and like, "You're a big boy. Tell her when your birthday is."
Yeah.
And he even looked at me like, "You don't know my birthday?
Come on."
And I forget what he said, but it was some date.
James, you ever forget an anniversary or birthday?
Never an anniversary, but I confuse my kids' birthday dates.
You got nine.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, God, which one are you? What's your name?
Ken, James, my girl, your girl ever play that? Like, I'm good with the majors. I'm good with birthdays, anniversaries. You ever get that girl who's like, "You know what today is?"
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm looking at Facebook a year ago. Babe, I know. I got to go to the bathroom, but then I'm going to tell you.
Hey, look here, man. Facebook, if you ever get that conversation, you know what today is, you go to Facebook memories. Which is funny because me and my wife celebrate the day we met over because it's our funny story about, if you guys have watched the episode of Martin when they talk about how him and Gina first met.
I love that.
And me and Sean have that story, so we always celebrate the actual day we met over our wedding day.
And that just shows you how extra white people are. Martin did it in one episode, How I Met Your Mother. We took like 8 seasons.
And we still
left it kind of hanging for a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, see, I have no idea what that show is about.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother.
Rick Martin just posted that he thought it was corny.
Oh, yeah. Well, he finally got around to watching anything 8 years after it was corny, you know?
I would say every sitcom is corny, but I say 90% of sitcoms are corny. You just like them. You know, like you're just like, okay, I like this. But like Mike was saying, 8 years later, plus a show that went that long, come on. It's not going to be knocking it out the park every episode.
Yeah.
Mike, you ever miss your kid's birthday or any anniversaries?
I don't have an anniversary because I've never been married.
I mean, any old girl, anybody ever. You ever miss it?
I'll tell you, the only birthdays I'm good with is my kids' birthdays. Like, those are the days I just never forget. I won't take, you know how we work. I won't take gigs. I'll work on my own birthday, but I don't take gigs on my kids' birthdays.
So, never. That's the rule. You're right.
So to answer your question, pretty much screw everything else. Christmas, Halloween, my kids' birthdays. That's it. And baby's mama's birthday gets taken care of.
Let me ask, such good dads, man. That is not the story of how
But that's the thing. I wasn't even gonna ask Miguel what he missed. I was gonna ask Miguel, what did your dad miss? I wasn't even gonna ask Miguel, like, what did your father miss? Because remember, he was in Greece fighting a war.
Yeah, I'm like, what be the Albanian war again? We got to stop this. I tell you, one time my dad waited online for 8 hours to call my mom back when you know, you had to wait in line. Ken, you probably remember some waiting in line to make phone
yeah,
calls.
Yeah, yeah, and basic training, we didn't get to use the phone for the first 3 weeks, and then when you finally got to use the phone, it was only 4 pay phones, and yeah. It was 60 dudes.
Yeah, yeah, my dad waited in line for 8 hours to call my mom. And when he finally got a hold of it, my mom had just been like, "Well, forget it. He's not calling. Let's go out." And my dad was like, "Cause he didn't know what to call." So my dad's like, "Yeah, let's call with my homeboys. Like, we doing popping in line 8 hours."
Damn, bro. I was gonna ask y'all real quick: is there any holidays besides your kids' birthdays that you won't work? Like, I used to work every year on New Year's doing comedy, but I won't do it anymore. I stay home.
I won't work New Year's Day. I don't want to start the year off working. If I got to, I got to. But it's just silly that I like to start the year off just with a nice day that's mine. I mean, if I got to work, I got to work. But for the past, like, 10 years, I haven't worked New Year's Day, and I don't want to.
See, I've done New Year's Eve. But recently, Sean doesn't really want me to do comedy and stuff like that for holidays. So if it's a holiday, but most of the holidays, you know, if it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, then I will not do Halloween.
No,
nobody's coming to that show.
Yeah, nobody.
Everybody
cares.
Downtown, they dressed up. If I got booked a Halloween weekend and another one I get to that I won't do that has nothing to do with holiday. I will never do bike week in Daytona.
Mm-mm.
It's not for us.
I'll take that every year, just because merch is so great. Merch is so great for me. But for me, Halloween, because trick-or-treating with the boys is like my big thing. Love it. That's almost bigger than Christmas. They love Halloween.
Disgust me how good you are to your children. I'm literally angry and jealous, and I'm a 38-year-old grown man.
don't think of it as I'm a good dad. I'm selfish. I enjoyed spending that time with them, so that's why I take the time off. New Year's, man, I used to feel bad if I didn't have a New Year's show, but now I'm like, James, the money has to be great. Otherwise, I'm not doing New Year's anymore. And then I've lucked out the past 9 years because Tom Rhodes comes home and does the Orlando Improv. So I'm either hosting or featuring with him when he comes through. And that's always like the week of Christmas or the week after Christmas. So I've never had to make that decision, like, do I want to go on the road during Christmas week? It's always go do the gigs, get paid. People got that extra money. They forgot to buy gifts. Merch is great. Yeah. Come home, you know?
For the past probably 5 years, maybe 1 year I didn't. Last year I didn't. But for 4 years straight, I was at the, it was Tom Segura, Eliza Schlesinger, Preacher.
The New Year show?
Preacher again. Then Preacher again. And then last year was Tony Rock. And, you know, I promised Sean that we would go to church. So I said we would go to church. Even though the year with Preacher, I did the early show, went to church. Hallelujah. And then we were back at the improv after the ball drop. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know. But I was just curious, man. You know, I just want to make fun of James. James seems to be getting old. So going forward, James, I will proofread your birthday. I will proofread your birthdays on the Google app, okay?
Hey, and do me a favor. Remind me when it's my birthday, too.
what you got to do is you got to reach out to Michelle and make sure. Because that's how I do sometimes when James used to book me as his feature, and I'd be like,
true.
Don't we got 3 shows that day? Let me call Michelle.
Oh, man. We're going to go to a commercial real quick, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk about some amazing fan mail I got this weekend from my show that I did up at Snappers Comedy Club, man. So stay tuned to Real Ass Guy. We'll be right back. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Real Lads. I'm your host tonight, Ken Miller. It is Thursday, August the 13th. I say the date just to remind James so he knows what day it is. I'm at home in the home studio, but I'm with my brothers Mike, James, and Miguel Colon Jr., man. You guys still doing good?
Yeah, man.
Still doing great, man.
So I wanted to bring this up, man. I got back on the road, for real on the road, You know what I'm saying? Not actual Orlando. I actually went out of town for comedy this weekend. And the rule was there was no pictures to be taken, no handshakes, no hugs, no nothing like that. I had two shows. Both of them were sold out to the capacity of the club. And it was one black person in the last show and four in the first. So I wasn't taking pictures with nobody, jokingly. And the black girl came out and said, "You're going to take a picture of me?" I said, "I'll take a picture of you because you black, because black lives matter, baby." Ooh. We took a picture. We weren't even close to each other. We was distancing. Her friend took the picture and they walked off. Later on, some more people came. I went ahead and took a picture with them. They were of the Caucasian persuasion. And I took pictures with them. I go back to the room, I fall asleep, and I had a dream that somebody got upset at me because I took a picture with just the black person. And I'm not making this up, y'all. I got an email the next day from a person that was at the show that was upset that I took a picture with only the black person. And here it goes.
Is her name Karen?
I will not say that person's name. I will keep the name to myself.
Okay.
Hi, Ken. Considering that most of the people who came out to your show tonight to show you support and pay your bills as snappers were white, next time when a fan asks for your picture, your response shouldn't be, "I'll do it because you're black." And just so you know, typical etiquette at a bar is when there are people around you conversing with you, you don't only buy the black people a drink, you buy everyone a drink. That's right. Whoa. That is the first show I've ever saw of yours. And until you showed that type of person you were, you would have been the first of many. However, now, it will most definitely be the last money you ever get from me. While your show was funny, she gave me props because I'm that damn good. Mm-hmm. While your show was funny, the way you treat your fans is pitiful. I guess to you, fighting racism with racism works. But really, it just creates more of what we don't need in this world. Thank you for the show. I recommend treating your fans a little better, not focus on so much attention on your skin color. Maybe then, this is when she got me, maybe then your comedy will make it out of Florida. Oh, wow. I wish you the best of luck, signed angry white woman. So I reply. Normally I reply with pop, pop, pop. I reply with, and this is the new Ken. "I'm glad you had fun at the show. I'm sorry you feel this way. But as a comedian, I was 100% joking. I took a picture with several white people after that comment. I'm a comic. I was joking. And everybody that works at the club has seen me and knows that I was not serious. I was kidding. And I was laughing the whole time I said it. But I do apologize. Also, my comedy is just not Florida, ma'am. I won Steve Harvey." Okay, I didn't say that. "I said, I just happen to live in Florida. I've done comedy in over 30 states. And before this, I was on the road 30 to 35 weekends out of the year. But because of COVID, I'm not on the road. I said, I appreciate the shot you took at me. That was a good one. But I love how people think that if you're not Kevin Hart, you're not successful. I am a very successful comedian. I'm doing pretty good. I said, I apologize. Next time I see you, I will give you 1,000 pictures, buy you a drink. I apologize. Hashtag Black Lives Matter." So
I want to hear you read that all over again, but I'm going to play Eminem's Stan in the background while you do it.
And I don't know, dude. I guess I've gotten to the point where, you know, it's comedy. You know, I wasn't serious. I didn't have a serious look on my face. We were laughing about it. And yeah. I took some pictures with some other people. I don't know. Have you guys ever had this? Has this happened to any of you guys where you got some bad fame? Because, you know, this is happening before with the Benadryl joke, with the lady who got mad about me giving my kids Benadryl. And my answer to her was, don't take parenting advice from a comedian. I don't even take advice from my own self when it comes to my kids. That's why they with their mama all the time.
I got something like that where a fan wrote me. Not a fan. I shouldn't say that. That's too strong. Happened at the same club you was at Snappers. I was going to Snappers in a week. It was like a Sunday. This woman writes me, "Oh, I see that you're going to be performing at Snappers. You look like you're a very funny guy, and you look like your mom raised you right. So I'm pretty sure that you're not going to be doing any cursing or talking about sex or doing anything I may find offensive on stage." Now, if you've seen my show, I do all of the above. Okay?
All of the above, bro.
All of the above, man. So this woman told me that, and I said, ma'am, before you waste your money to come out, my mom did raise me right, But I do curse. I do some innuendo, but I'm not dirty. And my clothes can be a little risque, you know, visually. It's just a visual gag. So she's like, but James, you shouldn't do any of those things to get a laugh. I've been doing comedy for such and such, and this is an older woman, too. Like, she was a grandma, and I never use such language. I never do da-da-da, and you shouldn't either. But I'm still going to come out to the show, and I hope you change your mind. So, of course, I do my show at Snappers, man. I think I was with Miguel this weekend.
That was the weekend we were there.
Yeah, I do my normal show, and she writes a scathing review and told them that the show sucked. It was horrible. Why do we have comedians like that working there? But I damn near got a standing ovation, but she said my show sucked. So this lady was mad because I used coarse language.
What you should have did was, because she a comedian, I would have gave her 5 minutes.
Oh, you see what she got?
I would have said, hey, you think you can do better? Oh, come on. Right after I was done, I would have put my clothes back on, James, and I would be like, yo, by the way, we have a special guest.
Yes.
We got White Lady. White Lady, would you like to come up here and do 5 minutes? Because you told me that you've been doing comedy for years. Yo, I heard she's so funny. Come on out here, White Lady.
Everybody clapping. Everybody, yay!
Ken, do you know that's the same weekend that the Thursday night show, me and James had to do a comedy show at a suicide benefit? And they brought, before I went up on stage, the mother tells a 15-minute story about finding her son dead in the room and all this and suicide. And then she's like, anyway, we've got a comedian here, Miguel. Come on up.
Bro,
we had a sign language interpreter for that show, right? And Ken, the best part is, this is a horrible part, but it's been so long, I'm going to say it. Anytime the woman said, I found my son dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, the sign was putting a gun to your head and blowing it out and making a face. So if you're watching, this is basically how it was. She was like, my son was a self-inflicted. Every time she did it, I'm like, Snappers, you know that. We got a great show for you. It's a suicide awareness benefit. You guys are going to kill. You know? It was hard, though. Like,
it was.
She sat there for the first 15 minutes, like, unbelievable. And she told the story, and it was heart-wrenching. And she's like, now we got a comic. Come on up, Miguel. It's like, I don't want to.
He's like, I don't want to.
James, you said something the other day. We were talking about this. You said you had a stalker?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I had a crazy stalker. I thought she was a really nice lady, older woman. Her and her friend would come out to all my shows for bonkers. They would come out and support me. One day she came to one of my comedy shows with my T-shirt on. You know how we sell merch and whatnot. The problem was this, Ken. I didn't make James Young T-shirts at the time. She actually had my face on a T-shirt that she had made, her and her friend. My face. Now, that's a little strange, right? Like, I'm like, okay, she's a real fan. But then the next week, I go to the bonkers office when I work there. We have a knock at the door. We open the door, and it's her and her friend. Nobody knows where the bonkers office is if you ain't a comic.
Man, nobody knows where the bonkers office is if you're a comic.
Bro, this woman came to my job. I thought, this is it. This is how I go out. This woman's about to stab me and make a James Young move.
Put you really like, on the shirt. You got really
yeah,
on
rest
shirt.
In peace shirt.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So, crazy stalker. One time she came to a show, Boardwalk Bowl. My wife was with me, sitting next to me. She's at a table over there. The stage is, you know, facing that way. She turns around in her chair and just stares at my wife the entire show. She turns around and the stage is at her back and just didn't even blink. Just looked at my wife. I was like, "Yeah, this woman's crazy."
Boy, yeah, Michelle held back that night.
She did, cause she's an old woman. She's an old woman.
Yeah. Nah, I would have beat that osteoporosis out of her. I would have beat the osteo out of her.
James, remember that woman we met in North Carolina that did just started hitting us both up all the time? She was the fitness woman. James literally
that got me in so much trouble.
James literally had to text me. He's like, "Hey Miguel, I don't want to be the bad guy. Can you text this woman and tell her to stop texting me? I have a family and stuff." Because I mean, she would hit us up like 3 o'clock in the morning, literally with the "What y'all doing?"
Bro, okay,
sending like selfies and stuff.
Here's the thing. So nice
I was all
woman.
About it, boys. I was all about it. Like, she's fine.
Nice woman. Here's what happened. She was a fitness. Like, she was a personal trainer. Redbone, Ken. Came to the show. Loved what we did. Had a good time. Was like, yo, I'm going to hit you guys up. And I'm like, okay. She's like, I'll hit you up when I get to Orlando because I'm coming to Orlando. So she's like, well, how can I get in touch with you, Miguel? So I was like, oh, just take one of my cards and you can get in touch with Miguel through me. Just thinking, you know, she's going to hit up Miguel on social media and whatnot. Yeah. So this woman starts texting me. That's why I used to put my phone number on my cards. Now I just put my email address because I've learned my lesson.
Fine, Redbone, Ken. Fine.
What about you, Mike? You got some bad fan mail? Because Mike, you do the joke about your kid. Oh, did somebody say something about that? Was that you that told me that?
Oh no, man. People after my shows just kind of go home and pay the babysitter and then hug their kids a little bit tighter. You know, just realizing how bad life could be. I think I spiritually raised people up with my shows. But no, the only time I really had a I think we talked about it on the show already. Someone came up to me after a show in Vero Beach, and I did a joke about being an altar boy. And how I never got taken advantage of as an altar boy. And my dad used to say it's because I was an unattractive child. And someone came up to me after the show just like, you can't be talking. You can't. Some people have actually gone through that. And I'm like, I can't help but think you're not going to church tomorrow and telling the pastor like, hey, could you stop doing that to kids? Because I heard like you'll come up at my job and tell me not to make fun of the thing that the guy at his job is doing.
You're mad at the wrong person.
So I told her, I'm like, the day they stop doing that is the day I'll stop doing that joke. But someone wrote me, Ken, now that I think about it, I do a joke about checking on my kid.
Yeah,
like
I
if he's breathing.
I
yeah, I put my hand on his back to see if he's breathing. And someone wrote me this long email. That is not the proper way to check. An infant should never lie face down in a crib. And I'm like, no, the joke is about my 8-year-old kid. You know, but they were just like, no nice show, no nothing. Just wanted to fact check me on the proper way to check on a sleeping child. So.
That's funny you said about Vero Beach because that's the show I did where I did clean, TV clean. I said, ass, hell, and damn. And this lady comes out and she's like, can you be cleaner than that? I said, ma'am, I said, ass, damn, and hell, like regular TV cuss words. She said, that's a shame. Mm-hmm. But her husband comes out. He's like, man, give me 4 shot glasses. And she just like, you know, she got the mean face, but he like, man, you, bro, I'll be back. You want a drink? What you drink? I'm like, Crown. And I'm looking at his wife like, that's what.
I did the show in Vero Beach, and I made a joke about losing a kid, just talking about how hard it was. And this woman told me after the show, she was like, stopped me right when I was walking out. She was like, I lost my daughter. That's not funny. And everybody was staring at me. And all I could say is I was like, she'll turn up.
Yo, we got to go to commercial because Miguel about to get us canceled, man. When we come back, we're going to talk about some crazy things going on in my state of North Carolina at the aquarium and the fact that my family had an earthquake this past weekend in North Carolina. We'll be back on Real Last Man Real Radio. Welcome back, man. It's Thursday night, August the 13th. Once again, reminding James John what time it is. I'm going to do this all show, man. I'm joined at home. Everybody's in the home with Mike Hurley, Miguel Colon Jr., and James John. Man, so I want to talk about stuff going on at home. This story I just read, it was crazy. And this goes back to a story that we talked about, James, a few weeks ago. I think you did it about the shortage of change.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, to pay the bills at an aquarium in North Carolina, they drained the whole wishing well.
Stop it.
Took all of the coins out of that wishing well. Yes, staff at a North Carolina aquarium in Pine Cove Shores turned off the 30-foot waterfall, collected coins that visitors had been throwing in the thing for over 30 years.
They collected over 100 gallons of coins. They cleaned them, sorted them, and all of that coin money would go to general care of the aquarium and the animals at that aquarium. And that's Pine Nose Shores in North Carolina.
How much money can they end up getting?
I'm gonna keep an eye out on it. They did a thing where they posted it. And they had people guessing how much, and then they said next week they'll let everybody know how much they made. So next week I'll let you guys know how much money they actually made. But they drained the swamp.
Dude, it's funny. You had me thinking. I took the kids their first big day out. We put on the masks and we went for a walk around Lake Eola the other day. All right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they got the little fountain down there right to the right of Lake Eola. Uh-huh. We're down there and we're just kind of hanging out. And you see this homeless guy just go and he starts pulling out change, like just pulling out change. And I don't say nothing because, you know, hey, it's I'm not my wishes, you know. But some woman goes by and she's like, hey, you can't be pulling out that change. That's somebody's wishes. And the guy, it must have been the 100th time he's had to say that. He's like, and you think none of these people wish to end world hunger? He's just kind of out the middle, man, dude. I couldn't even hate him. I was like, I give him a buck.
I can't even remember the last time I threw money in a wishing well.
Me either.
You need to start, man. It's like playing the lottery. It just gives you a little hope that maybe it could happen. You know?
Okay. Yeah, I never played the lottery either.
Now, that you're crazy on that. I
played the lottery, James?
Not even once.
Have you ever gambled once before, James?
James, you've never bought a lotto ticket.
Not once. Not even scratch off.
No, man. Why not?
I don't know. Like, I just never did it.
It's like a dollar. I'm telling you. Now, watch you be the dude that buy his one and only lottery ticket and hit the $25 million.
Mm-hmm. Bro, James, you know how you know? After I win, you're going to turn on this thing and you ain't going to see nothing. Okay, that's how you know I won.
So it's going to be like 8:05 every week. Great.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Nothing. Videos of me Harlem Shake.
You never bet on. You never bet. So no gambling.
No bet. Really. No gambling. I mean, no betting.
I've never been a gambler at all, man. Not really.
I will say we were in Dubuque, Iowa, and we were walking past a blackjack table. It was me, James,
Mrs. Yon.
Yeah. And James looks at the blackjack table and he's like, "Have you ever played this before?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've played blackjack before." He's like, "Oh, I've never played." I'm like, "Do you want
to play?" That's it.
Yeah, I'd like to play a hand. So it was $10 limit. So we sat down, put down $10, got bad cards. They took the $10 away. Put down another $10. They took the $10 away. James got up and he's like, "So that's gambling, huh?"
Yep.
Hey, I'm on the road with Devin, we are both degenerate gamblers. We map our trips by Indian casinos. Like, literally, we stop. And then we also always sign up for the Players Club. So if we lose a lot of money, we're eating the free buffet. Like, it was all worth it. You know? Yeah.
But it's a wash.
But I got to give Devin credit, though. Devin's pretty good at gambling.
Oh, we cleaned up. The last trip we did together, we cleaned up on those Indian casinos. And I don't mean, like, killer.
What's the most you won?
On that trip or ever?
At any casino.
Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, in 45 minutes, I won 3,500 euro. Which was like $4,500. And it was great because I've been in Amsterdam for a month. I was young. We took this long trip and I had 50 euro left. I still had cash like American in the bank, but I had 50 euro left. Schiphol Airport has a casino and I was playing craps and I just kept rolling these hard eights, man. Like every four passes was like a hard eight and I was up, up, up. And then I kept rolling the point. And I think I got 14 passes before I hit 7. And then the next roller had like 11 passes before they hit the point. And we were killing it, man. And it was 3,500 euro in 45 minutes. And I came back. All my friends were waiting because the plane was getting ready to leave. And I was like, "Hey, man," I was like, "have you ever seen those $500 euros?" And they were like, "No." And I was like, "Well, they look like this."
You know? Boy, I do not know how to play craps.
Me either.
I don't know how to play dice, man.
Most fun game you ever going
to play. Let's do that. Let's have a real last outing where we go learn how to properly gamble because I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's cool.
I was rolling eight. I'm like, I thought it was supposed to be sevens.
It's easy to learn. Once you learn it, it's fun. The good thing about craps is it's one of those games where everybody's trying to win, but nobody has to really try to beat anyone else. So the vibe is there. It's a vibe game. Yeah.
Only thing I know about craps, because I learned it from watching my uncles in play, is every time you throw the dice, you snap. Like, Like, that's all I know. Like, that's it. Yeah, that's all I
think. That's the best thing you need to know about craps. If you're playing at a table in a casino, it's fun. If you're playing in an alley, somebody's going to get shot.
Somebody getting gun, yeah. Somebody getting that bullet. Mike, you ever won some money gambling?
Yeah, man. First time I went to, not much, like $500 one night sitting down at a blackjack table. But the thing is, you sit down and you're there for 3.5 hours and you're drinking for free and you're spending money and everything else. If you walk away with more than you sat down with after 3 hours of entertainment, you won.
It's the rule. You won. Yeah. You won.
But dude, the first time I sat down, I won like $500 in my first night. And that was with the guy I went for his wedding was holding my hand, basically helping me play. The next day, I had an hour to myself while they were doing rehearsals and stuff. I'm like, I went from the night before knowing nothing about gambling to 12 hours later being like, man, I'm going to take this town down. And I sat down and like, I was one of those guys that when people were walking up and it was like, you know, the decks, they called it a chute. So good etiquette, usually at a blackjack table, people don't understand you're not playing against each other. You're all playing against the dealer. New people like me the first night don't understand that because you sit down, you think it's me versus him and everybody. That's not the way it is. So new people that are new to blackjack are the worst people to walk in and sit down next to you. So I was that guy the first night. The second night, I was giving people dirty looks when they were like coming to my table. I was like, come on, man, wait till he changes out. We got half a shoe left, you know?
Nick Papa Giorgio from Yuma.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And dude, the problem is I was up, but I had been drinking. And then I got like $20 down. Then I was $100 down. I'd start with like 400. I was $100 down, but I'd been playing for like 2.5 hours and drinking for free and having fun. I couldn't in my head go, hey, you've had a good time. You're $100 down. You would have spent more than that. Get up and leave. I'm like, I need to get my $100 back.
Yeah.
So I started chasing that $100
Big Ben.
Until I lost $850. They had to hide cab money from me by the end of the weekend so that I could have money to get back to the airport. And even when I was going to my gate, I called my parents. They put money in my account for me. I told them it was a hiccup at the bank. Like, it took me 72 hours to become a degenerate lying gambler. My parents put money in my account. And I had like $20 and a 6-hour flight back to Orlando. And I'm sitting there going, I can take this $20, buy something to eat when I get through security. But they had those little one-armed bandits right before you get to the... And I'm like, this is a sign from God. God put these here for me to make back everything. So I put the 20 in, pulled it twice. Dude, I was eating gum the whole way home. That was my following.
Yeah, for me, 1900 was the most I won. I was in Vegas with the president.
Which one?
And, Bush. This is Bush. Yeah, because
my year Vegas? Clint.
Because remember, my year with Clint was 1 year. I had 4 years with Bush, but we weren't supposed to gamble. Mm-hmm. So nobody knows I won this money till now. And it was
the NSA
night,
knocking on your door.
Yeah, right. That was the night I met Pernell Whitaker.
Okay, Sweet Pea.
I just won the money. I put it in the envelope, took it up to my room. I had my own room. I put it in the mattress, under the mattress. Don't know why. I didn't put it in the safe. I just don't know why I put it under the mattress.
You've seen enough movies. It goes under the mattress.
So I'm in the VIP, and it's me, my homegirl that was stationed with me. She was from North Carolina, too, so we always called each other Cuz. It was me, Cuz. Kid Capri was DJing, and I was coming down the stairs. And I had kind of lost a little respect for him because when he shook my hand, it was like, I was like, wait a minute. But a kid could pre-party, bro. So me and Cuz, we in the VIP. And I was like, yo, I know you, bro. And he had on the little Rocky Marciano boxing glove thing on the net. I said, you the champ.
Golden glove.
He was like, yeah, what's up, man? I said, you know, we got our flip tops to make us think like Secret Service, but we're not. I'm like, yeah, I'm here with the president. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how we got in the VIP everywhere. So I'm like, with the president. You know what I mean? He said, yo, that's dope. Hey, man, I got some bottles. So, you know, and this was my Hennessy day. So he got like Hennessy and all kind of stuff. So me and Cuz, Kid Capri, killing it. Nobody's in the VIP with us. Nobody knows who he is. Kid Capri said, okay, the champ's in the house. Give it up. Pernell Whitaker, Sweet Pea in the house. Bruh, I went down to get my drink and I came up. It was 35 girls in VIP.
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't.
I was like, what?
No, it wasn't. They was not girls. Those were hoes.
We refer to them as scallies. Okay?
Yo, they were scallywags. 35 scallywags. So cuz with me, and cuz like, man, I'm ready to go. I'm hungry. But I was dancing with some girl. I was like, man, okay, let me, you know, we getting our dance on.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm having such a good time. And then, bruh, I looked at her face. I said, please don't. Threw up all on my shirt, bro.
The best part is, what if you guys really were Secret Service, and the next day you see the president, everybody just dragging ass behind him, nobody's running alongside the limo.
The eagle is going way too fast. Slow down. Go without me.
Which is crazy, bro. You remember this story about the Secret Service agents in Brazil?
Oh yeah. Party with the hookers, yeah.
Son, yo, and you know I'm dropping secrets. That was normal. That's what the advanced party was for. The advanced party was to go ahead, find out where all the spots was at, and come back and be like, hey, y'all can go here, but you can't go anywhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Imagine that was the advanced party in the Bush era.
Yeah.
How was that advanced party in the Clinton era? Like, they just where the hoes at?
Definitely ask for Rhonda.
Yeah, hey, if you go there, don't tell them you know me. Because I put a couple bucks in that spot.
Bro, Clinton had DMX like, where the hoes at?
If you was with Clinton in Vegas, you would have looked over at the other VIP and he would have been sitting there with a glass up. Like, you here too, baby?
Yo, and it was so crazy, man. When that story came out, I hit some of them because I wanted to share it and be like, yo, that's normal. I hit some of my old White House cats. I'm like, yo, this normal. They was like, yeah, but it wasn't no social media and phones and stuff back when we was out there scooching. You know what I mean? Like, we was you had the advanced party. That's what the advanced party was for, man.
It was a party.
It was a party, man. Now, I had another story, but I take it to another week because we about to run out of time. But it's Thursday night. Where y'all at this weekend? Anybody doing anything this weekend?
I will be with it's it. This is Thursday's show. We improv right now. We there.
Hey James, real quick, whose birthday is it this week?
Pardon, whatever.
It don't matter. It's DJ King Capri's birthday. Yeah, it's Parnell Whitaker.
James, yo, James, next week, check your birthdays, bro. Please check your birthdays, man.
I got you.
Well, I'm at Margaritaville this weekend. I'm there the Friday and Saturday. If you want some tickets, go to bonkerscomedy.com. Use the code word Ken, K-E-N, and you can get 4 or 6 tickets. Make sure you check the website out because they got some new rules on social distancing and what you got to do to get up in there. But we want to thank you guys so much for listening this week, man. It's been one of my favorite weeks, man. I've laughed so hard all week, man. It's been a dope week. Make sure you check out our other shows, Monsters in the Morning, the Colbert Show. Who am I missing? News Junkie. Tom and Dan. Man, for me, Ken Miller, Mike Hurley, James John, Miguel Colon Jr., thank God for listening. God bless you and good night.